By doing a little review of this church of the Laodiceans. We're going to start reading this morning in chapter 3 and verse 14. Chapter 3 in the book of Revelation and verse 14. This is, as I've said before, this is just my favorite book of the Bible. I just love it. And we'll start reading in verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now we started off with this church of the Laodiceans, and we saw how Christ described himself as the Amen. The Amen is an old an Old Testament title for God. This word, Amen, in the Hebrew, means truth. And truth speaks of Christ. He is the truth and speaks the truth. He is the faithful and true witness. And the Lord is about to tell this church of the Laodiceans of its spiritual condition. But the unfortunate thing about that was the Laodiceans would not believe his warning. They were blind and oblivious and unwilling to face the truth. If we want what is best for us and our church, we must be honest with God. We have to be honest with God.
Yes.
And we have to accept his honesty with us. Honesty is the beginning of true blessings. Amen. We must admit what we are, confess our sins, and receive from God all that we need. We must be honest with God and let God be honest with us. Now, unlike the other churches that the Lord had written these letters to, he had nothing at all good to say about the church of the Laodiceans. There was absolutely nothing he had good to say about them. The other churches, he had made comments about what they did and how, you know, they were doing this good or they were doing that good, but with the church of the Laodiceans, there was nothing at all good that he had to say about the church of the Laodiceans. And why? Because they were lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold. They were lukewarm. You ever drank tepid water, lukewarm water? Not very appealing to me. It's not very appealing to Jesus either. For us to be lukewarm. He would rather us be hot, on fire for him, or ice cold. If we're ice cold, at least we know where we're at. We know where we stand. But if you're lukewarm, the book says he'll spew you out of his mouth. Jesus finds lukewarm very repugnant. And he'd rather a church be frozen or boiling. And churches today are largely in this lukewarm state. And that's really sad. The cause of this lukewarmness is the same as that of the church of the Laodiceans. Self-deception. We deceive our own selves. We don't want to hear the warnings. Just as the Laodiceans didn't want to hear the warnings. When God speaks to you, what do you do? Do you ignore it? You're just like the Laodiceans. If he's talking to you and you choose to ignore what he's telling you or the way he's speaking to you spiritually, you're no better than the Laodiceans. Self-deception. Now we can have one of three spiritual temperatures. We can have a burning heart, be on fire for God, or we can have a cold heart. Or we can be lukewarm, as seen in verse 16 here. And what did Jesus say about the church of the Laodiceans? He was ready to spew them out of his mouth. He was just about done with them. As believers in Christ, we have every reason to be fervent in spirit. We should also be fervent in prayer, because it's very vital for the Christian to keep from becoming lukewarm. You not only need to be praying, you need to be in God's house. You need to be in the house of the Lord. Not just on Sunday morning. Not just on Sunday morning. Are the doors only open on Sunday morning? I think not. I think we have services on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and on Wednesday evening. If you don't know the hours, they're on a track back there. Get you one. Be here. Like I said, there's a lot that could be here in Sunday school, but why are they not here? Just like everything else, it's about choices. We can make the right choice or we can make the wrong choice. We make the choice to sit at home and watch TV rather than come to church, or to go to a lake and have a good time at the lake or at the beach or, you know, whatever, rather than come to church. Now, I know we all need vacations. I like to take a vacation myself. I'm about ready for one. My wife's been working me to death. She takes a vacation, I stay home and work. Something wrong with that picture. Love you, honey. In spite of you working me to death. But if you're not in the house of the Lord, you're not reading your Bible. See this book right here? Holy Bible. It's God's Word. It's not what I say. If you'll read this book, it'll even tell you in there, study to show thyself approved. How do you study to show thyself approved? Read the book. Read the book. It's just that simple. Read the book. Oh, but I don't understand it. Well, you ain't never going to understand it if you don't read it. Duh. Read the book. God wants you to have a relationship with Him. Jesus wants you to have a relationship with Him. You, at the moment of salvation, have the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. Holy Spirit's living inside of you. Guess what? He's going to help you understand that book. I didn't understand it either when I first started reading it. Didn't make a bit of sense to me. Duh. But guess what? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that lives inside of me. Same one that lives inside of you. If you have salvation, that Holy Spirit lives inside of you at the moment of salvation. Yes. That same Holy Spirit that helped me understand it. Guess what? He'll help you understand it too.
Amen.
But that's not all he wants us to do. He wants us to pray. He wants us to pray. Pray about everything. Do I do it all the time? Nah, I'm guilty. My hands up. I'm guilty. I don't do it all the time. Should. I can tell you this, that lady right there, she prays about anything and everything.
Man.
She prayed I'd stay home and work, and I did.
Amen.
Near I killed me. Thank God I'm here today. By His power and His strength. Pray. Commune with God. That's how you have a relationship with God. That's how you have a relationship with Jesus. Read the book. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. But I promise you it won't kill you. Won't hurt you. Not at all. Won't hurt you at all. It'll sure help you. I can promise you that. I can guarantee you that. But you got to read it. The church of the Laodiceans, any church, cannot grow without Jesus. You're not going to grow without Jesus. Just as we need Jesus, the church needs Jesus. The Laodicean church was independent, self-satisfied, and secure. They thought they didn't need anything at all. They needed nothing. They had it all. Oh, they were wealthy. They were rich. Big church. Big church. They had it all. The problem with the church of the Laodiceans, the Lord was outside the church. He wasn't in the church. He was outside trying to get in. Outside trying to get in. That's sad. The church at Smyrna thought itself poor, but it was rich. And here the church of the Laodiceans thought themselves rich, but they were poor. I wonder why they were poor. How can you be rich but poor? Matter of the heart, folks. Matter of the heart. Have you got Jesus? I'd rather be penniless and have Jesus in my heart than have all the money in the world and be poor. I'd much rather have Jesus. Much rather have Jesus. Because guess what? If I got Jesus, I got everything. That rich man's going to die and go to hell. Easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for the rich man to come to know Jesus. Come to know Jesus. Why? Because he thinks he's got everything. He's poor. And the sad thing is there's many such churches like this today. Too many churches like this today. Talk about their big buildings, their fancy preaching, and never hear the gospel. I don't want any part of a church like that. I don't know about you, but I sure don't. And there's more of these churches today than in any other time. Any other time. The poor and the saintly, they're not wanted in these type of churches. And why? Because their presence in these churches is a rebuke to the people that go to these churches. They think they don't need anything. These churches don't see that they're wretched. just like it says in the book. They don't see that they're wretched. Look here in verse 17. "And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked?" I didn't say this in a book. But they don't know that they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Because they're blind. They're oblivious. They can't see it. They don't want to hear it. The churches of Laodiceans, they weren't burdened with debt. They were burdened with wealth. They were burdened with wealth. Today's churches think that nothing at all can be done without money. Oh, we got to have money to do this. We got to have money to do that. But if only they had money, the world would be converted in this generation. How wrong they are. The world's not going to be converted by money, but by the Spirit of God. That's the only thing that's going to convert the world. That's the only thing that's going to convert you. Only thing that's going to convert me. Spirit of God. Now the board at the Laodicean church, they could proudly show you their wealth, their latest annual report, and its impressive statistics. But what did Jesus say? He was about to vomit them out of his mouth. About to spew them out of his mouth. And he even offered them a solution in verse 18. Pay the price. Pay the price to get true gold. Gold tried in the fire. Gold that was not tainted. The dross had been removed. It was pure. The impurities were gone. They didn't want to hear it. Nothing at all will make God's people examine their priorities faster than suffering. Nothing at all will make God's people examine their priorities faster than suffering. I guarantee you, you start suffering, you start having problems, what's the first thing you're going to do? You're going to start praying, aren't you? Ha! Why don't you do it before that? Maybe you wouldn't be going through these sufferings. Another dull moment. Pray. You hear the preacher say it all the time. The Laodiceans were blind. They had lost their vision. They were living in a fool's paradise. They were rich, yet they were poor. That fool's paradise. Proud of a church that was about to be rejected. That's something really to be proud of, isn't it? Proud to be part of a church that was about to be rejected by the Lord. God forbid. The Apostle Peter teaches that when a believer is not growing in the Lord, his spiritual vision is affected. He's nearsighted. You remember I said last week that a diet has a bearing on the condition of one's eyes in a spiritual sense as well as a physical one. And what do I mean by that? I really didn't elaborate on that last week. Diet. You remember what I was just talking about? I just said just a few minutes ago that you needed to read this book. Part of your diet. part of your spiritual diet. Read God's Word. Be in His house when the doors are open. And just in case you didn't get it the first time, that's Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening. Be in His house. It's not what I said, it's what God says. If you don't believe me, read the book. Read the book, it's in there. I'm not going to tell you anything, God being my helper. I'm not going to tell you anything at all that ain't in the book. Because then I get chastened. And I ain't taking a whooping for you. Pray. Part of your spiritual diet. Part of your spiritual diet. You want to be spiritual. You want to have a spiritual condition. I can't do it for you. You want to have a relationship with the Lord? I can't do it for you. I can tell you how to do it, but I can't do it for you. No more than that man right there can do it for you. Oh, believe me, I can guarantee you everybody that's sitting here this morning has been prayed for by that man right there. I can guarantee you that. By name. By name. But he can't help your spiritual condition. Only you can do that. Only you can help your spiritual condition. You can be like these people at the Church of the Laodiceans. They couldn't see themselves as they really were because they were short-sighted. Short-sighted to heavenly things, spiritual things. They couldn't even see the Lord. Now this is really sad. They couldn't even see the Lord standing outside the church, knocking, trying to get in. Where are you at? Is the Lord outside your house, knocking, trying to get in? Are you like the Laodiceans? Are you short-sighted? They didn't see him standing outside those church doors knocking, trying to get in. They didn't even see the opportunities, the open opportunity, the opportunity they had to let him in. They didn't see the doors of opportunity. They were too wrapped up in their buildings and building their own kingdom. They had become lukewarm in their concern for a lost world. The Lord had counseled them to anoint their eyes with eye salve. But they didn't possess any sort of eye salve that would restore their impaired spiritual vision. Look there in verse 18. Do not appear. Simeon, let me back up here. Let's just read the whole verse. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Here it is. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. They didn't have that type of eye salve. And remember, I told you they were well known for their eye salve that contained these herbal properties that would somehow help the eyes. They didn't have that. That eye salve they had wasn't going to help them. They needed spiritual eye salve. They needed an unction from the Holy One.
Amen.
The great physician.
Amen.
That's the only thing that was going to help them.
Amen.
Only the great physician can operate and make it what it should be. Just as he did with the man whose account is told in John 9. And I told you about that last week. Remember the man that was blind? And Jesus took some clay and made spittle out of it and put it on his eyes, and the blind man was able to see. That's what they needed. Spiritual vision. They needed the unction from the Holy One. The eye salve that the great physician can give them. Nothing else was going to help them. We must submit to his treatment, maintaining good spiritual health habits so that our vision continues to grow. Now these Christians, excuse me, this is where we left off at last week. These Christians even thought that they were clothed in splendor. But guess what? They were really naked. And here they were blind, running around naked. They were wretched. Look in verse 17. And knowest that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They were naked. And to be naked meant to be defeated and humiliated. Defeated and humiliated. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 10. 2 Samuel chapter 10. And look down at verse 4. Wherefore Hanun took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly, what?
Ashamed.
Greatly ashamed. And the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return. Then return. So they would not be ashamed. Wait till your beards grow and then return. Turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 20. Isaiah chapter 20. Wow. In the year that Tartan came into Ashdod, when Sargon the king of Assyria sent him and fought against Ashdod and took it, at the same time spake the Lord by Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saying, go and loose the sackcloth from off thy loins, and put off thy shoe from thy foot. And he did so, walking naked and barefoot. And the Lord said, like as my servant Isaiah hath walked naked and barefoot 3 years for a sign and wonder upon Egypt and upon Ethiopia, so shall the king of Assyria led away with the Egyptians prisoners and the Ethiopians captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered. Here it is. to the shame of Egypt. They had their fine woolen garments. Remember I told you that's what they were known for, their fine woolen garments. But here they were still running around naked. Not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. Running around naked. What did they need? They needed the fine white raiment. The white garment of God's righteousness and grace.
Amen.
All the while the Laodiceans were busy commending themselves while the Lord was condemning them. They had thought they were glorifying God while they were really disgracing His name, just as though they were walking around naked. Now look in verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The Lord closes His letter with three special statements. First, He gives them an explanation. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. He admonishes them. He convicts them. Tells them of their faults. He still loved these lukewarm saints, just as He loves us. He loved them even though their love for Him had grown cold. But He did plan, however, to chasten them as proof of His love. Now, God permits churches to go through trials so that they will become what He wants them to become. You get that? God will permit churches to go through trials so that they will become what He wants them to become.
Yeah.
Guess what? He's going to do the same thing to each one of us. He'll do the very same thing, myself included. And I've been to the woodshed more than one time. And if you ain't been to the woodshed, hold on. Because if you're doing something for Him, you're going to go to the woodshed. You're going to get chastened. He's going to rebuke and chasten you just like He says. Sooner or later. If you're not, if you've never ever been rebuked or chastened by the good Lord, might need a checkup from the neck up, because there's something wrong right here. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. The second thing is an exhortation. He says in verse 19, be zealous, therefore, and repent. The Laodiceans needed to repent. Repent of what? Their pride. Their pride. They were full of pride. They didn't need anything. We got it. We got this. Full of pride. They needed to humble themselves before the Lord. They needed to cultivate a burning fire, a burning desire for God. They didn't have it. Remember, God's outside. He's trying to get in. He's knocking on the door trying to get in. They needed a burning heart for God instead of themselves. And finally, He gives an invitation. Look there in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Look there in verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in His throne. I knew I should have got that other one. Here's the invitation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's standing at the door. He's knocking, trying to get in. Not just at the church. He knocks on our door too. He knocks on our door. He's trying to get in. Now, a lot of folks will use this as a basic application. Let me back up here. These verses are often used to lead the lost to Christ. But guess, this is what this really is. This is the basic application to the believer. This is the basic application to the believer. This is what we're supposed to do as believers. He's knocking at the door. He's trying to get in. Are you going to let him in? Are you going to let him in? Or are you going to say, I don't need you? Are you going to leave him outside? Are you going to leave him outside? Here he is trying to get in, and you're going to walk away and leave him outside. He's knocking at your heart. Are you going to let him in? Are you going to let him in? The Lord was outside the Laodicean church. Christ had been excluded from the church. Are you excluding him from your heart? Are you excluding him from your heart? Christ once stood in the church of the Laodiceans. He was in the midst of that church. But now here he was on the outside looking in. On the outside looking in. He was outside knocking, seeking admittance. But he's not speaking to the congregation. He's not speaking to the congregation. He's speaking to the individual. He speaks to us. He's speaking to the individual. This is the most startling thing recorded in the New Testament. That it is possible for a church to be outwardly prosperous and yet have no Christ in the midst and be unconscious of the fact. Did you get that? Here he was trying to appeal to the church. God can do great things in a church, even through one individual. Even through one individual. The most startling thing recorded in the New Testament, that it is possible for a church to be outwardly prosperous and yet have no Christ in the midst of the church, to be unconscious of the fact that there is no Christ in the church. That's sad. That's really sad. This is a description of the Christless church. The excluded Christ. Christ left out. Are you leaving him out? Where's Christ at in your life? If you're leaving him out of your life, guess what? If you're sitting here this morning and you're leaving Christ out of your life, there's a part of him missing in his church. You make up the church. We make up the church. We're the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. We're the body of Christ. If you come to church without Christ, you left part of Christ somewhere else. They excluded Christ. He was excluded from his own nation. They had rejected him. excluded from the world. They crucified him. Excluded from his church. He stands outside the door knocking, trying to get in. Knocking for entrance. Now, how was it you think Christ came to be outside the church? How do you think he came to be outside the church? He must have been in it at one time, or there wouldn't have been a church. How did he come to leave? They didn't thrust him out. He wasn't put out. They didn't seem to miss his presence. They continued to worship, sing praises. They engaged in all manner of Christian worship. Yet he had withdrawn. What could possibly have caused this? One word. Worldliness. They let the world inside the church. They threw Christ out, pushed him out, and let the world in. They let the world in. If we let the world inside, where does Christ go? Outside. Spiritual diet. Christ was not impatient. He knocks through circumstances and he calls through his word. For what is he appealing? Fellowship and communion. The people's desire to abide in him. That's what he wants. He wants us to abide in him. So how is Christ to get back into church? Look at verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That's how Christ gets back into church. He has to be led in. The supper room becomes a throne room. It is through communion with Christ that we find victory and become overcomers. We become overcomers. Look at verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. The individual members must open their hearts and let Christ re-enter, and thus open the door for his reappearance. The character of churches today is Laodicean. Our church will only be as good as we are Christians. You get that? Our church will only be as good as we are Christians. The Laodicean period will continue until the church of the newborn. Those born in Christ is taken out. And we can't hope for any greater change until the Lord comes. Now these seven letters that were written to the seven churches, as I said in the beginning of this study of these seven churches, is God's x-ray given to us so that we can examine our own lives. Don't run around examining somebody else's life. Clean up your own backyard before you start messing in somebody else's. Clean up your own backyard. Don't mess around in my backyard. Get yours straightened out. Judgment is going to come to the world, but it first begins in God's house. First begins in God's house. These seven letters, we can find encouragement as well as rebuke. Encouragement as well as rebuke. I pray that the Lord will help each one of us to hear what the Spirit says. Just like you said in verse 22, that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I pray that the Spirit is saying today to the church and to individuals in the churches. I pray that you'll hear it. Next week, we'll get started in chapter 4. Between chapters 3 and chapter 4, guess what takes place? The rapture. We're out of here. Let's close with a word of prayer.